Yo, and we're live.
Welcome
to the
Diren
Car
Tell
Show.
Episode 32. We're doing the catch-up. Where's Shavala Hagen?
I can't believe it's not episode 33.
Why? Why would it be 33?
Because you always give me shit about saying 33.
Oh, 33. That's right. I know you miss me, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you actually?
It's very hard. I think we're that close now that I find it really hard to say I'm nice to you. Like, even when you post anything, my first thing is like, oh, you can't say that. That's me. Like, I'm almost cheeky in everything. I'm like,
I know.
Like, no, it's actually because we're close enough now that I can.
Isn't it weird though? Every time I do that, right? Or you do that, people think we're flirting, but I'm really not.
Oh, yeah. No. That'd be weird.
That'd be weird. I think people don't realize, like, because I would say we're kind of close.
Yeah, we're close.
Not in that way.
Brother and sister.
I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of deep conversations in Bali with
Bintangs and stuff. I know you're better than you know yourself.
I'm the same with you, though. What you think? You think you got the upper? You don't have the upper hand. Are you drinking?
The hotel just gave me a bottle of wine. I think they felt sorry for me.
You know what? That's the life. That's the life of a Irish blue tick celebrity, you know, in Portugal.
No,
Portugal,
they don't
right?
even know me or anything. It actually was really strange. I just booked this place last night and they're just knocking the door and gave me some cheese and wine.
They're being smart. They see this beautiful woman staying on her own in a nice hotel. Knowing you, it's probably a 5-star hotel. And then you walked in.
I'm just saying it before you say it.
What wine are you having?
It's a rosé. It wouldn't be my first choice, but I think it's a local wine.
Okay, look at this. I know it looks like piss, right? But hear me out. No. Hear me out. I've just invented this drink, and I think it's one of my favorite already. It's pink gin.
I remember my first drink.
Every time. And Red Bull.
Oh, interesting.
It's actually decent.
Have you ever listened to Matthew Walker's book on the importance of sleep?
Oh, here we go. Oh, fuck off. You're Irish. You can't talk to me about drinking and like talking about sleep.
I know. I don't even like it. You and drinking, you know, that'll be, I always say you, I was like, that's going to be over the shoulder into the flower pot now in a minute. And you'd be like, oh, great night last night.
Yeah. But you know what the funny thing is, yeah? I remember getting this message once when someone's was like, oh, Diren, mate, you booze so much. You need to be a little bit healthier and stuff. First of all, in my head, first thing I thought was, even if I did, go fuck yourself. Secondly, I was like, I don't booze as much as what people think.
I know. That was one of the first messages I sent you. I think you and James were off somewhere and I wrote to you going, like, 'cause he was falling all over the place. And I was like, how are you not as messy as he is? And you were like, I just don't drink as much. I was like,
But do you think like genetically it hits some people way harder and way differently compared to others? Because I remember everything when I'm on a night out.
Sorry, go on.
I'm like, I kind of remember everything on a night out, whereas sometimes
I'm kind of the person who just never says no to the shot, or like I'm the person giving everyone else shit for not having the shot. I'm the person who will make sure to finish my drink, you know, whereas I just know that you kind of nurse the drink, you hold it for a while. You know, I don't think I've ever seen you very drunk.
I've been.
I've been out on the right night.
No,
I don't think.
Bali, that time we went out, there's been a lot of nights in Bali I've been boozed.
I can't remember. But because I've always been working.
probably. But like, I like to be in a, like, for example, now I've had two Guinnesses. I was in a pub with my sister. My sister came to see me. I've had two Guinnesses. No, just Guinness on its own.
No blackcurrant.
And I think for the Irish people that will hear this, right? I think I had to do the blackcurrant phase to have an entry level into Guinness. Do you know what I mean?
I don't like Guinness.
How are you Irish?
I know. Red hair and freckles. accent. I get away with enough of it.
You get away with enough of it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I used to drink, they used to have Arthur's Day over here. It was like a made up day by Guinness to celebrate Guinness. And it was better than Paddy's Day. It was wild. But I used to always just have a Guinness on that day for the picture. And then I'd be like,
what? What? When's the last time I saw you?
Bali.
Which was,
we all was that February?
Was that March?
It was
my birthday. It was a couple of days after my birthday.
The weekend of your birthday was the last night out in Bali. It was actually the next day, like everything kind of started changing.
Okay. Do you remember the conversations we were having and about you saying that you're just going to chill here? Do you remember that conversation?
I know. I mean, I definitely, like, my attitude changed so much. I was so set on staying because I was like, I've got my villa, I had the puppies. I was like, I wasn't worried myself about getting the virus. I was like, I'll be fine. But then it was actually we went out that Saturday night and we had a great night. We're all in pretty poisoned, sweaty, messy, great fun. And it was only the next day. I don't know what it was. It's like, Steph and Tim were staying with me and they were kind of looking at the ICU beds and stuff and they were like, Bali's not going to be able to handle it when it hits. Yeah, like, it was more, I then got worried about like the island running out of food and, you know, like thinking back now, it all seems like real panicky, but at the time, like Ireland was in complete lockdown. They were taking it so serious. And I was looking around going, nothing's really happening here. And I think like that weekend, the gym put up a sign saying, please wash your hands. And I was like, that's the first sign I've seen. And I was like, is it going to hit here bad? Like, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I started, like, you were the same. You were like, you know, like, if we did our phases of being in the common that every morning doing our work, it was like, yeah, well, coronavirus.
I
maybe fist pump. And then it was like, morning. And then it was like, I'm going to have my coffee at home today. You know, like, it just kind of went. And then you left before me then.
Well, do you remember me messaging you going, oi, come with me, come on the flight with me and we can like separate our ways from Dubai. I was like, come Dubai with me on the same flight. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think that was a Wednesday. Because I remember, I think it was on Tuesday, I had decided I was going to stay in Bali but isolate in my villa, which was really difficult because nobody else was. So people were texting me going, we're all going for dinner. I know you can't come. And I was like, well, I can, but you know, I'm just trying to do it for the sake of the community.
When you said that to me, and when you were saying all those things, I was like, is she fucking crazy? There's this virus that where no one knows really anything about, number one. Secondly, I know she feels pressure that she's just got puppies there, so she doesn't want to leave the puppies, right? And then you're like, I'm going to isolate myself at home. In my head, I'm like, mate, have you lost your nut? Because I remember going to London, jumping on the flight, and then landing. And a day after, I remember stories of you, like, in tears. And I was like, I told you.
Yeah, but I remember on the Tuesday, I think Steph and Tim had just left. It was Paddy's Day. And you rang me. Lord, was it me? And you said, hey, we're all chilling in the pool in the villa if you want to come around. And I was like, Darren, I'm isolating. And you were like, okay, see you never. And like, okay. And then the next day you're messaging me going, yo, I'm actually going to bounce. Come to London. Come with me if you want. I'm out of here. And I woke up and was like, no, I'm fine. I'm staying. And then it was actually watching the speech from like our Taoiseach, our Prime Minister on Paddy's Day. And that's kind of made me realize how serious it was and how, I suppose it was just so uncertain in Bali and I felt like it was so safe at home. And then they said they were closing the borders on the Friday. So I was like, I don't even know if I'll be able to get out if I do decide to go. So just, there was one seat left on one flight. And then I was like, right, I'm doing it. So like that was on Tuesday and I didn't get home until Saturday.
No regrets.
That one economy seat flight
must have been terrible.
I didn't have a choice, okay? So yeah, it was a first class flight, but
yeah, standard.
I didn't think, like, I wasn't doing it to be flash, to be honest. I thought like business, I didn't think anyone would have any interest in fitness anymore as the world was ending, you know, like I thought I'm never gonna make any money.
Let me tell you something, and if you can fly business class or first class, if you can do that, then people should just do it. I remember feeling Like, I feel like there is always a bit of that pressure where you feel like you look like a prick. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that. But I'm like, hold on a second. I've worked so hard. My people have suffered. My dad. Not me, but
I'm just thinking of all the Irish who crossed the Titanic in third class. No, but I was the same. The first time I booked a flight, a business class at Etihad, I didn't want to say it online. I was terrified that people would judge me. And I didn't say it. Like, I went on in my gym gear. I remember I had Mekons, I had my boxing gloves hanging out of my backpack, and was like, business. But I would advise everyone against doing it, because you can't go back. I'm the flights I was supposed to go on to Bali, I booked a flight for September 30th before they said it was going to be the end of the year. Yeah. And that flight I booked first class, because I was like, I can't do business class at Emirates. It's not as good as business class at Etihad. And now I'm like, oh God, I'm after ruining myself. So I'd advise anyone, if you have the opportunity to do it, don't do it, because you won't go back.
But the truth is, though, like, oh, I don't know about you, but I actually work at the airport. I'm always working, like, at the airport. And
that was definitely I'm like, you need Wi-Fi, you need a comfortable chair, you need, but then I say that, and then I'm like, more champagne, please, as I'm watching, like, Zoolander 2 or something.
Zoolander 2, Zoolander 3, they killed that movie. Did you watch Zoolander 3?
Was there a Zoolander 2? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there was. But in Bali, when we were in Bali, how many days after I left did you go straight to Dublin?
Yeah, so I got on, like, Sinead was in Thailand and I was in Bali, and that was the first time I've ever been stressed or anxious, or not first time, but the last time maybe. And I rang Sinead and she was kind of set on staying in Thailand, but again, things were changing so fast. And I was like, if we go back to Ireland, like, I was like, we're gonna have to isolate, which seems normal now, but this is like, nobody was isolating then. Myself and Sinead got an Airbnb, and I was like, it was just so weird. Like, landed into the cold, stand there with no clothes, and I was freezing. I had to walk around the city because I couldn't even go into a cafe. I was waiting for the Airbnb to be ready. And I was like, what is life? But then I really think I honestly had the best lockdown. Like, I think I had the best attitude, like my own best attitude. Like, myself and Sinead were just really productive. I haven't worked as hard as I had the last few months because I just had nothing else to do.
Same.
And then I worked hard on myself as well, like doing yoga and running, and which I never would have done.
Do you want to know the craziest thing, right? And I know you're open about this sort of stuff with your followers and everything, is that I want to say you're body conscious, but you let your followers know about your physique update and how you feel, which I think is great. The crazy thing is, the minute I think you stopped caring as much, you remember me messaging you going, oi, you look like you've dropped a bit of body fat and you actually look leaner than ever.
I know. Everyone's saying that to me. Everyone's like, oh, Dublin suits you. I'm like, no, this is what not traveling and sitting at home for months does. Like, you know, you've kind of, I say with quarantine, a lot of people went two ways. I ended up losing a bit of weight because I wasn't going out drinking as much. Like, I was still having, like, drinks at the weekend, but it wasn't like dinner and drinks. And like, this is before all the restaurants opened. I was just, and again, not putting pressure on myself, just taking more steps as well. There's this concept called NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And I realized that even though I thought I was training hard in Bali with CrossFit and Muay Thai, I actually wasn't moving outside of that. You know, like on the mopeds, not walking a step. So I came home and just like, people think it's because of running that I lost weight, and obviously that just means my overall activity was up. Or they're asking, like, is it the yoga? Like, what's the secret? I'm like, moving more, eating less consistently, not drinking as much.
And I think...
One thing I'll say is, like, I did lose a good bit of weight and everyone is commenting on it, but I'm kind of like, lads, stop praising me, because I always think it's a bad idea to praise someone about their weight, because I always think once I start traveling again and, you know, when my life gets back to normal, I'm going to put back on weight and I'm going to think, oh, did everyone prefer me back then? So it's something I'm really conscious of, like, I've changed over the last couple of years, is saying, like, commenting on people's weight, because you don't know why they've lost weight.
But I think people just need to understand that weight fluctuates. all the time. So like there'll be times Christmas is coming, winter is coming. Yeah. So here, a lot of people are going to put on an extra few pounds. That's okay. Yeah. But if you're prepped for it, you can either prep to take a certain angle towards it or just accept the fact that you're going to put on a few pounds. But when January comes and whenever, you're probably going to be and work a little bit harder than usual. And that's fine.
What I teach my clients. It's like, it's all about having the tools and realizing that there's no end date to weight loss or anything. It's about doing, I always say now, I diet when I can. Mm. So like I'll eat well. And if it doesn't work out, like today I was driving and then I was in Lisbon on my own. So I had to, and I got sent a million food recommendations. So I had to have like two lunches. And it's like, I don't get angry at myself. Like I'm kind of like, okay, that was a bit excessive. And I feel, but I just had a nap and I'll go for dinner then. And you know, I don't get angry at myself.
Yeah.
And I just think that the problem with people and weight is that they diet too hard and they feel like they're always dieting, yet then they have huge blowouts and they don't think of it as that bad sometimes. Like they don't realize that those blowouts are canceling out really hard work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're actually probably better off doing less work and doing it consistently. You know, like, as in smaller calorie deficit consistently. And just, you can be happier overall. Like there's so many before and after pictures and like you just need to, I get really frustrated with like before and after pictures, even though I'm as guilty of them as anyone else, but it's like saying to my clients that, because they'll be like, oh, I didn't do as well. Or, you know, my measurements aren't great. I'm like, you did amazing. And let's look back at everything you've done and that you've got the tools. Like you don't feel like now when you're finished that you have to go and have a blowout.
Exactly. Which is great. But I think that one thing is like, for example, when you were in Bali and we were doing like two sessions a day, right? Obviously our general activity was lower, but obviously when you are, say, getting your steps up, you're, you know, knee up 24/7, some geezer somewhere in London, you know, just make it popular. He claims it. So yeah, but it's mad because when you train so hard, when we're in Bali, don't you find that we actually eat so much more?
Well, yeah. Like food is so healthy. I'm like, you know, like getting taco bowls and then you're like,
yeah,
and a bowl of cheese on top. Magnums. Yeah. The many times I found myself sitting outside a shop eating the Magnum because I was afraid it would melt before I got it back to my house. So I was like on the side of the road eating a Magnum. Or that time Fliss was like, do you want a Magnum? And I was like, no. And then she came home and I was like, you didn't actually get me one. Like I was fuming. And I was like, obviously I meant it.
Yeah. Getting angry like.
I was younger then. The food in Bali is, the thing is, it's so tasty though. And like I've realized that when I do go back, I think I'll be a little bit more, you know, a few less desserts during the week. And the thing is, I don't need to diet to keep this up. I just need to be, you know, increase my neat and maybe a few less desserts and I'll be grand. Like, because the training is tough.
Yeah, but the thing you got to be careful for in like countries like that is you can't be walking around on the road. You need to go to the beach because you don't want to get run over. Do you know what I mean? And let's be honest, when the fuck are you going to be able to go back to Bali? Like, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Do you know what I mean?
It was supposed to be September 11th. Like, they announced that during the summer and we were all, like, I was so excited, booked a flight for the end of September. And then I think the numbers were just starting to increase a little bit. So they, even I say a little bit, they're still nowhere near, like, Ireland, UK. So they're saying the new year now. So, good, like, whatever will be.
But the mad thing is, I don't think countries like that, everything they rely on is like tourism, right? So when we were there and we thought, oh, what the hell is COVID? And we didn't really care. No one was ever telling us anything. Like we had people from the UK saying, hey, Darren, I know you're having a good time on your stories, but like, bro, people are going through mass panic. And I know.
I realized that after that night for your birthday, we were all out, all posting, you know, and then I think that was the night, like they canceled Paddy's Day in Ireland that weekend. So I think I was like, and everyone's like, I got
shit's
a few
going down.
Key messages, and I was like, what? Like, I just didn't understand what was going on at home. So I was like, whoa, haters. And then I kind of like, all right, I get it. But I mean, they obviously just didn't understand what was going on here.
Where are you? You're in Portugal now.
I'm in Portugal. I'm in Lisbon. My sister lives in the Algarve, so I decided to move here when Dublin started getting cold. Yeah. Go up to Lisbon just to see it. Back down to the Algarve. I love Portugal. Like, Portugal's fine. The numbers, especially down the Algarve, are pretty low. And wherever I go, I need good food, good coffee, good Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Friends, like the Algarve definitely has friends because I used to live there, so I have loads of friends there. I had to bring my own coffee because the coffee is terrible, and the food, it's very hard to get, like, you know, it's really good fresh fish and steaks and all that, but I'm kind of like, give me a poke bowl, you know, like, it's not really that kind of, they haven't got good salads. No, there's a few places, but just not around Albor, and I've been traveling a bit to get it, but I think, and Deliveroo, like, I'm serious, the only thing they have on Uber Eats here is McDonald's, like, so.
Have you worked on your Portuguese?
Sim. Falou um pouco português.
Tudo bem.
Oh, yeah, like, the Brazilian Portuguese is different pronunciation.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, go on.
But yeah, you want to see me with a few drinks on me, I'm fluent.
Do the Portuguese guys love a bit of ginger?
Yeah, just not really my type, I suppose. No, they're beautiful, but there's no crack, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I guess...
And all the guys that I liked from like 10 years ago are all married now with 3 kids, and I'm like, well, I'm like, glad I didn't stay here.
Do you want to be married?
Me? No, I wouldn't say no to be married, like, but as long as it's someone who can fit around my lifestyle. You know, like, I'm...
Good luck. Good luck. you ain't, from how I know you, I feel like it's mad, didn't it? You know, when you care about your own freedom so much, I feel like there's like such a fine line of being selfish and like.
Yeah, no, I do think I am very selfish with my time. Like, I love my alone time. Like, one of my friends is like, I'll go with you to Lisbon. And I was like, no, I actually just want to, like, drive up, listen to my podcasts, walk around, like, literally do my own thing where I can just go for a sleep and do a podcast. Or, you know, like, I love my own time. So, I can't imagine, like, I think the perfect relationship would be someone who I see sometimes, but not all the time. You know, meet up, have a great time for a little bit, and then I go off and do my own thing.
I think...
If anyone fits that bill and is tall, slide into my DMs.
Slide into the DMs.
Yes. I managed to turn off my message requests on Instagram, so now I can't see my DMs. And
you probably
I see some of them.
Yeah, but I would say I want kids one day for sure. I reckon even when I have kids, I reckon I'll still do my trips on my own for sure. 100%.
That with their mother.
Yeah, and then you know what? I'll be like, you do them as well, and I'll look after. Because I feel like the ugly truth is no one admits it, right? And the ugly truth is everyone wants that fucking time alone, but they feel guilty saying it to their family, to their friends, and going, do you want to spend this time with your kids on holiday? Where some people might want to say, fuck no, I want to be on my own and chat to that Spanish bloke. And see if he likes me. I don't want to do anything for him, but I want a little flirt for 5 minutes, you know? And that could be the case. But I feel like so many people feel guilty when they're saying that because it is family. But you said you don't want kids.
Yeah. And at the moment, if I had no kids in the future, I think I'd be pretty happy. But I'm also, and like people say, you'll change your mind. I'm like, yeah, okay, I might change my mind, but I'm at the moment, I'm like, I don't want kids, and I'm not gonna like change my life to have kids. And I always say, like, if anyone ever gets offended when I say that, I'm like, it's not me judging your life, it's me just making my own decisions, and I love my life, and I'm like,
if anyone gets offended by that sort of talk, it's because they're being defensive about what they're not really happy about.
I know, I've learned that. I was reading a book the other day, and it was really annoying me. Like, it's this book that everyone's raving about. I'm sure you haven't read it. And it was really irking me. Like, I couldn't put my face. It's called Untamed, for anyone listening. And it's, everyone is raving about it because it's like, it's real, like, woman breaking free, being different. I was like, oh, I'm going to love this. And it was really annoying me. And normally I can, if something's annoying me, I can kind of figure out and go, okay, I'm able to identify, go, oh, that's because she's, you know, saying that women should be married or something like that. You know, like, but I can't figure out. And I mentioned it in my email the other day, and loads of people wrote back to me, and they were like, I don't know why, but it annoyed me too, and no one can figure it out. But if you're getting annoyed...
I know, a lot of people unsubscribed, didn't they? I saw on your last... Some people got offended.
That was email before. I basically put out an email explaining why I don't want kids. And no, actually, I mean, a few unsubscribes, but it was actually mostly... I couldn't even reply to them all. So many emails from women going like, thank you for saying this, because, and that's why I do it, because I know that it's odd to say that you don't want kids or like, you know, that it's unnatural. And then actually someone wrote back to me and said it was a very good point. She said it's completely natural to not want kids. So like, if it was natural to have kids, then everyone would be able to have them. And I was like, ooh, very good point.
That is a very good point. Yeah. Is what's that thing? I remember someone that I know experiencing this, I found it very weird. I didn't know what is that feeling when sometimes mothers have kids and they can't even, it's called like something.
Maternal feeling, or what do you
think? I don't know, where they're like, they have a baby, but they don't want to even look at the baby because they feel kind of like
postnatal depression.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, a lot of people have that. And then that's the problem where people don't, like online, you see all these mothers that are gooing at their kids and then they feel like there's something wrong with them because they're not bonding. And
yeah.
But I mean, I think that does pass.
That does pass. But I'm like, I would never know how that feels because I know female physiology is very complex. It's very complex. So like,
I know female physiology.
No, but it is. And it's mad. The more like, I read up on it, and the more I read into people in a certain time on how they would respond to me normally compared to did. And when you read into it, you're like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to sit back at this one and maybe not bite.
Yeah. I know, I'm trying to learn. It's good. I mean, it's good to be learning about it, and especially with clients, like it's good to know what expect, like even like your strength and stuff changes the time of the month and everything. And I think growing up, when my generation anyway, just weren't taught about hormones and how they affect your feelings and everything. And we're just put on the pill and told to like come back in 10 years and you want kids. And
yeah.
And it's hard because I'm trying to learn. And I know that it's another subject. It's like the hassle of talking about it because you get people saying you're wrong and what do you know?
What is it about?
Oh, like just talking about... being on the pill and stuff, and like basically like I learned a lot this year. I read a book called Period Repair Manual, listened to a lot of like hormone experts, and it's basically just saying that when you're on the pill, you're not actually getting a period, you're not ovulating, and just women don't really, a lot of women don't understand that. And so I've kind of was like sharing that message a couple of weeks ago. I was like, you know, if you're not getting a normal period, it could be a sign there's something wrong. Except I said there could be a sign that you're unhealthy. I took it straight from the book, and I got a load of backlash. Been like, what do you know? You shouldn't be talking about this. It's doctors. And I was like, oh, all I was saying was like, just read that book. And like, or like, all I was saying was go explore the subject more yourself. Like, don't listen to me. I said, the first line was like, this is no medical advice. I don't know. I said, I'm just surprised from all the stuff I'm learning, and so it's like it's good to learn about it, but I'm like, I'm not bothered sharing it online. When
can I ask you a personal question?
Okay.
When you were bodybuilding,
oh yeah,
did your period stop?
Yeah, but only like 2 months before. Which was apparently a good sign, according to my coach, that it would come back pretty soon after. It's one of those things, like, you know, especially getting down to like a month or two before, you're like, this is not, like, you're not like tip top health then. Yeah. You know, that's when you're getting to extreme sports.
Yeah.
And then it came back, whatever, 2 months after.
Okay.
But it was actually funny. It was actually probably a year or two after I lost it again, and I was really confused because I was like, I'm not skinny, like, what's going on? And it turns out it was actually from overtraining. Like, so I always thought it was only if you were at a really low body fat or if you're really underweight. Yeah. But it was actually, like, I was eating a good bit, but I had gone to Thailand and was in, like, a training camp, training insanely 2-3 times a day, and it just stopped. And I was like, oh. And my doctor was no use. Like, my doctor was like, we'll just put you on the pill to regulate it. And I was like, I even knew. I was like, that's not
what you should be
doing. So yeah. I spoke to a naturopath and she told me what to do and then it fixed it. And it's been great since. I mean,
That's good. Because, like, some measures. My one is actually due today. I'm only asking that because I know a lot of women that have done bodybuilding and do bodybuilding, is whereas, you know, it was only periodically that it was going to be like that. Some women get stuck in that phase where they want to maintain that leanness. And I think genetically, some people can maintain that lean without any hormonal issues. But then you have some that are like, genetically, you're not supposed to be that lean because you're not even getting your period at that stage. So you need to make some adjustments.
The whole thing, especially, sorry, go on.
No, go on, carry on.
I think the problem is that, like, being lean does not always equal health. Now, it can correlate with health, you know, like, losing weight can be healthy. But looking at someone, and because they have muscle on show, but low body fat, does not mean they're healthy. There could be any reason, they could be really sick. Actually, I think Ben Carpenter did a good post, and, like, he was really sick with Crohn's, and, like, was, and everyone's praising him, been like, well, a sick bod, bro, and you've, like, you've no idea what someone's going through.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, women, like, you know, women will, like, something, like, they might break up with their boyfriend, and they say, you know, the breakup diet, they're not eating, they're not getting nutrients into them, and then people are saying they're looking amazing, and it's like, they're actually, like, their body is actually shutting down. They might stop getting their period, but then again, they're like, oh, well, I can't put back on weight because, or they'll think the only way to get to that body fat is through stopping eating or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think knowing that dropping body fat, it's a calorie deficit is actually like technically slightly malnourishing your body. You know, like if you're eating less, your body's not getting enough nutrients in. So it's kind of managing it to a point. And that's why I like to go in. That's why fluctuations are okay. Like, I'll go a week or two where I'm like, you know what, calories a bit higher, get a bit faster, you know, feel a bit stronger and fitter, and then I'm ready to, like, go into a deficit again.
This is the thing that drives me nuts, and I talk about this all the time. I'm like, listen, you're not supposed to be in a deficit all your life. The goal here is to get you to a weight. The goal should always be, and I say this to my clients, to everyone, is to be able to eat as many calories as you can without being an unhealthy weight, right? And people think, Darren, I've been in a deficit for 12 weeks. I'm like, listen, mate, everything needs to re-regulate. So just go back to normal. Even if it's a week, don't worry about it. Get your body increasing your calories a little bit. So when you do drop them again, your body can respond to it. Because if you eat nothing and you're constantly on a deficit, your body does have certain adaptations. And I think people struggle to understand that. And I guess it's normal because it is quite a complex topic. Although I say the adaptation, it is a lot.
That's the biggest word I've heard you say, I think.
Fucking hell. Here we go. But, like, funny enough, Sean, I actually know what I'm talking about. But, like, people think, they're like, because they hear the word deficit all the time, right? And they think, I need to be in it all the time. And you're like, no, you should not be in it all the time. You should only be in it for a small amount of period. Like you said, and then you have those waves where you go up or you go down. And
it's
actually
a graph. Like, it goes down, then you wait a little bit, then you can go down again. And it's because I'm all about enjoying life. You know, like, sometimes it might sound like I'm sending a mixed message all the time where I'm like, you know, you only live once and life's short, do what you want. But all at the same time, I'll be talking about calorie deficit. But that's why I'm like, diet when you can. Like, so I'll keep my calories low when I've nothing on. It means that I can increase it when I've something on.
Yeah.
So I'm not like all or nothing. It's not like, oh, well, I'm going out for dinner tonight, might as well have a breakfast roll for breakfast, you know.
But the mad thing, it's good. You're saying you think you're giving like a mixed message sometimes. It's like, what people should know, and anyone that's listening to this, is I personally think no one knows what the fuck they're doing. In the sense, like, you're always giving like mixed messages because we're always kind of either evolving or growing going through different stages in our life. And I think people always think like, okay, we have a few, we have followers, we have an online business, whatever it is. People think it's like constant growth, constant goodness. Whereas there's constant challenges and waves of feeling really happy. Like this week, for example, like even chatting to you on this podcast, it helps me. It's good because weather's shit. I'm not having a great time. Look at the weather. It's fucking pitch black. I've put on...
it's a good thing you can't see the window here. It's always sunny.
Exactly. I've put on a ring light to make it feel like I'm in a more bright place.
But the truth hat is, makes it look very cold. That's obviously trying to hide your hair.
That's the hair's growing in it. So like, I'm just letting it...
Any side of that being cold now?
What do you reckon? You don't like the long hair? No. Really?
I mean... You could pull off anything, but I do think you could do it a fresh fade.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. I could pull off anything. That's all I heard. And that's all I'm taking on board. That's all I'm taking
one nice thing.
That's all I'm taking on. That's all. You know what? I'll let you stay in my villa in Bali when the doors open and when you can eventually go there.
I was going to say, so no travels for you?
I'm not going to lie. I feel like, considering all the madness, I feel like I had a decent summer.
Yeah, you got to Ibiza and all, didn't you?
As soon as the doors opened, I left. And the mad thing is, it's the first time in probably 3-4 years since I had the link to Australia that me, my sister, my mum and my dad spent time in our holiday house in Turkey.
And it was so good.
And
I know, like, I spent so much time with my brother, who I never normally see. I happened to get an apartment in Dublin just beside him, and we ended up like going for brunch and sitting outside a canal, but like spending proper time together where we never did. We got so close, and I was like, that's fun, you know. Coronavirus brought me that,
and it's good because I don't think we realize how much little time we actually spend with our family. And as we get older, I mean, as you get older, sorry, as we get older, like, so busy, so caught up in everything that kind of makes us happy, we kind of forget how much little time that we're potentially spending. And next minute, you know, in 10 years time, you think, fuck, I should have spent more time with mum, dad, or whatever.
I know that is the hardest part of traveling, being away from family, especially like my grandparents. And it's one of those things, though. It's like, I'm also not going to sit at home waiting around. I don't know. That's probably my biggest struggle. My grandparents and family are all like, go, don't wait around for us. Like, okay,
fine. Do you reckon you'd be like that if you had grandkids?
Yeah, I won't though, but yeah.
You reckon you'd be like, just go have fun, don't worry about me.
Yeah, like actually 2 years ago, I was going off to Thailand, and my granny, I went to see my granny and granddad, and we were sitting chatting for ages, having great chats. And then literally as I landed in Thailand, all of a sudden they tell me my granddad was going into a hospice, and it was quite, I mean, I knew he was old, but like, I was shocked, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, well, I turn around and go back home, because hospice obviously means that they're going to die soon. And my dad, like, it was my dad's dad, and he was like, don't come home, it's too far. And said it to I rang my granny, and she was like, Siobhan, go enjoy, you're living the dream, you said your goodbyes to granddad and blah blah. And I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. Like, she was like, don't come home just for the funeral, like, it won't, you know. I was like, because I had their blessing, it was okay. Like, otherwise I would have been like straight back across. But yeah, that's very morbid talk. Let's move on to something else.
No. Hey, I had that with my granddad. Hear this out. My sister always, I love my sister, and I know my sister always feels a little bit bad about this. My granddad, my mum's dad, passed away on the London live show on James's first tour, and I open the shows. And my sister comes and tells me this before the show. And I'm like, Sinem, why are you telling me this now? So no one knows this, but I'm like,
but there's no right thing to do there. Like
there isn't. She because she also knew that if she didn't tell me when she knew I would have got pissed off. Like,
yeah, so yeah.
There's me, like, I'm actually on the London show, there's 700 people. I'm crying backstage. And aww. I've got 3 minutes to go on stage to, like, be me, right? Before James goes on. And I'm like, fucking okay, I've got to. But then it sounds mad, but, like, at the end of the day, you kind of got to crack on with what you have to do.
I'm not afraid of death or people dying. I'm very, like, I think life happens. And I think the people who are afraid of death the most are people who aren't living enough. Well, I don't know. That's probably a very broad statement. I probably need to think about that a bit more. But
not really. I understand.
And obviously, I'm kind of like, the worst thing if I lost my parents or anything, touch wood. But at the same time, I'm like, everyone has to die at some stage. Like, and I think it's because my aunt died a couple of years ago, and she was an amazing woman. Like, had fans on Facebook. She was just brilliant. And she, like, it would have died young, like in her 40s. But at the same time, I'm like, she was really, like, accepting. She was like, she'd done so much with her life. And it just changed my attitude as well. Like, I grieved her in a different way to everyone else. I was more, like, grateful that I got to spend time with her. And I just haven't really been afraid of death since. Like, obviously, I'll be sad if anyone dies. But
I'm also
quite accepting, I think. I don't know. It's like, touch wood, hopefully nothing serious happens. But that's my attitude. It's like, life happens.
Yeah.
Learn to go with the flow. Cool.
I think I've always said that Western people have always looked at this in a way better angle than my cultural background. Because, our cultural background is so fucking emotional. Like, Turkish, Kurdish is so, so, so emotional. We're talking about someone passing away. Because, say, my background, Kurdish background, is a lot of it, even the songs that are written, everything is kind of, comes from some level of suffering. The lyrics, the tone, everything. Not all suffering, yeah, obviously.
Similar to Irish. I'd say all the Irish heritage or culture background. Yeah.
So when someone dies, it's like, if any of my cousins or family hears this, they're going to fucking be like, Darren, shut the fuck up. But it's like they're almost forcing negative emotion instead of celebrating.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a cultural thing. And whereas I found in Western cultures, and I saw this in Australia, and I saw this in the UK, where people are like, let's go to the pub and have a drink and celebrate their life.
Yeah.
Which,
and actually, Corey sent a lovely message. Do you know, Corey, her granddad died the other day, and I was just texting her, going, oh my God, I'm so sad. And she was like, we're out going out to celebrate his life. And I was like, yes, that's the way, that's the attitude. Celebrate life, celebrate his life, all the good things, not being sad that they're gone, but, like, be grateful, I suppose, that you had the time with them in their life.
Exactly.
It's all about perspective.
And I think some.
Two drinks down, that's all.
These are, like, similar conversations that we have when we're in Bali having some shisha.
Those conversations,
they get
could
deep.
Never go
public. They can't go public. You and me are both going down if they go public.
Like, what did I say? I can throw you under the bus.
Don't you worry. I've got content. Don't you worry.
I'm thinking of you wearing my swimsuit.
Yeah, but I put that out.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Actually, the first time before I even met you, I did you a favor. That's how you know I'm a good person.
Oh, yeah. Yes. First of all, you told me to go to Canggu, which is, thanks for that.
So you're welcome.
And then you said you were coming out, and I was like, oh yeah, any chance if I pay for an extra bag, you could bring some of my protein gear out for me? And then you were like, oh, you don't need to pay for an extra bag, I'll just bring it. I was like, sweet, what's your address? And then I was like, oh, don't bring the long sleeve stuff, you can give those to your girlfriend. And you're like, the message you sent me back. I was like, okay, sorry.
What girlfriend? What, yeah, mom? Like, sister? The girl next door? But it's mad. When I did come out, and when I met you and we started hanging out, it's so funny seeing you then compared to how you are now in Bali, because you were almost like, you didn't know how to drive a moped.
I did. By the time I went to Bali, I did. Oh, no. The first time I didn't. Yes. Did. And you're-
One second. I was giving you lifts everywhere. Yeah. I was giving you lifts.
Yeah, I know. I was too afraid. Now I'm like, I miss my bike so much.
Yeah. But like, I mean, how many accidents do you hear and see there now? It's crazy.
I know it is. And I touch wood. Like, just wear your helmet.
I can't believe how stupid me and James were when we first ever went.
That's the same. I remember driving a bike one stage and like trying to dry my hair. And like now, I think it's like, I don't know. Again, it's like this kind of social awareness thing. Like nobody was wearing helmets. So you just, you know, you don't wear one. And now it's like, luckily it's changed to people going, like, if you're seen without a helmet, it's like, you're an idiot. You know, like, no. It's not, you don't look cool anymore. See some people going around, they're like their AirPods and they're, and it's like, and I love the way like the Canggu pole and all that are like taking the, like they shame people not wearing helmets. So I'm like, that's good.
Because I feel like even when, the mad thing is when we're out there, we've now come to a place where we spend quite a bit of time there. So the risk of something happening is always a little bit higher if you're spending more time there. And it's not even about your driving. It's about other people's. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean,
imagine how, like, if you hit your head, like, I mean, you fall. I mean, the thing is, there's a high chance of getting into a crash. If you hit your head and you don't have a helmet on, you're in it. Like, you can literally ruin your life or you'd be dead. If you have a helmet on, you might break a bone and, you know, fuming, and you might spend a couple of weeks not driving. That's okay. You know, like, well, it's not okay. Obviously, you don't want that to happen either, but like, a head is a different issue.
I can't believe. People like, luckily, when I was first out there, I had like 2,000-3,000 followers, and like,
it must be at least.
Sorry,
down about six.
Six now, yeah, six, yeah, six, 600 away from you.
you were pretty close to me last time. Have you overtaken me yet?
Not yet. Give it a few more months. It's coming, auntie.
I'm losing a lot of people. That's my problem.
I lose a lot of people week in and week out. And the truth is,
I've changed so much over the years. Like, you know, people followed me, think they're just looking for like fitness tips and like people who want to just get really lean. And
yeah,
you know, my content has changed so much. My attitude to things have changed so much. And I've gathered a lot of people along the way, you know, like, so people will come and go, and I don't get offended if people unfollow. Like, it even could be very hard. Like, if I'm living in Portugal and people are sitting at home, and they want to be there. Like, I'm like, for your own mental health, don't, like, if it's making you angry to watch me, don't watch me.
And people get bored. It's normal. People get bored. Like, yeah. How many times do you watch a TV show and go, well, that's fucking boring me now?
Yeah.
And you don't watch it again. Do you know what I mean? And like,
tell this funny story. I used to watch a TV program that I hated every day. And I used to tweet about it and give out all the time. And like, It was a fashion show, like, and I'd watch it every day and be like, oh, they're so annoying the way they say all this, you know, on Twitter, and always tweeting about it. And I'd put it on, I'd come in from work every day, you know, this is when I was working full time, and like, I'd just come in, put it on, eat my dinner, get angry. And one day, one of the hosts tweeted me back and was like, why don't you just turn it off? And I was like, oh my God. Like, as if that never would occur to me. Like, and I say that now, I'm like, if my stories are annoying you, just don't watch me. Like, don't write to me and tell me. Yeah, just don't watch it.
Yeah. I think this happened to me last week. I was walking through, I do this like Fulham Putney walk, and someone saw me and they said something, but they're just like, that out words. And I was like, hey. And then I just walked past and they just waved. And then they inbox me. They're like, oh my God, sorry for the awkward scream. I didn't know what to say. And I'm like, that's fine, not a problem. I'm like, but you don't even follow me. <You know? laughs> I can see it. I'm like, I don't.
I mean, every time I put up a question box, you get people asking you stuff. And especially when it's a funny question or when it's a real kind of, like, what, how do you feel about this? Or, you know, you look and you're like, they don't even follow me. I don't know. It's a lot of people who
I don't care, but I love to know the psychology behind searching my name and looking at what I do on a day-to-day basis, but not show me just a level of, you know what? I like, you know what? I give in, Darren.
Yeah, to be fair, so maybe some people just, they, you know, because some people don't follow that many people and you know, they need to clear their stories, you know, like they need to clear everyone they're following every day. Yeah. So like if they post a lot, they hate that.
Yeah.
Because I actually was listening to the lads on the Fair Points podcast, and they were like, Ben Willetts always clears out all his plays. And I was like, oh, I thought he was just really interested. He always watches my story. And I was like, I thought he was just really interested in what I'm doing. But he's obviously just like clicking through, trying to, I was like, I follow way too many people to even consider.
I'm not watching
all my stories.
I'm not.
You only watch your own anyway.
I watch my own and a few others. Because you know why? Because I want to spend more time creating than watching, because if I spend too much time watching other people, I start talking like them, I start acting like them, whereas I just want to be me. And I feel like when you don't watch anyone else's content in that sense, there's no opportunity to be one of, you know, Ben, my coach Benji and Lucy Davis.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them. Benji messaged me the other day. She goes, oi, Darren, I see you doing your yoga every night now. I'm like, Ben, mate, I didn't get that from you. I don't watch your stories, mate. And he's like,
you're like, what's up? I'm like, I actually can tell you what's up and tell you everything that's going on, because I know you're not watching my stories. So I'll tell you what country I'm in. And
yeah, you were like,
my annual podcast.
You were like, I said, that day I had none of that intention. I was just like, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, yeah, when you rang me that day, I was like, I remember I was lying on the couch, I was like, what?
What's
and you were
going
like,
on?
How are you? And I was like, what?
What do you
and
want?
And eventually at the end, you were like, you just can't cut for my protein. I was like, yeah. Which and you remember I was like, yeah, it's just Siobhan. And then I was like, I'll text you.
Oh, yeah. That time. No, I was talking about this week when I was like, how you doing? You okay? And you were like, what do you want, Darren? You were like, what do you want?
Yeah. I think it's because we don't even talk in like a few days before. And I was like,
No. But I think it's one of those things where like, if I didn't see you or chat to you for like a year, and if I saw you, it would be like this.
Yeah.
So you were like, what is it? I felt like I was chatting to my sister.
I'm honestly terrible at keeping in touch with anyone. So if someone asks me like, hey, how are you? I'm like, what's wrong? You know, I'm terrible. And I actually put it in my to-do list every week, like pick three friends and just contact them. I'd be so busy, like do my own thing and like spend time on my own. And then I might come to the, like, especially when I was in Ireland, like it comes to the weekend and I'm like, oh, is it too late to text anyone to meet up? You know, like I'm like, I haven't talked to anyone all week. And then I'm like, come entertain me. So I was like, I need to make more of an effort. Like my days just feel so full. And then it's when I actually slow down. I'm like,
But do you think people like, I've learned to take my time with responding on WhatsApp now, because I feel like you can just get caught up on there and you're not actually doing anything productive. You're just ending up messaging people all day.
Yeah, I have my morning routine, and part of it is like WhatsApp/messages. So like I'll see messages coming in my watch and stuff, but if it's not urgent, I don't reply. Yeah. And then I just sit down for one half an hour, boom, 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 clear the inbox. Of course, then it's like, it's full again. I'm like, well, they're not getting a reply until tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's grand, but sometimes I can let it build up. The thing is, if I don't, because I always think, oh, I'll reply to that in my half an hour slot. If I don't do that half an hour slot, I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I hear. Everyone. It's all right, you can reply to your message. This is the most casual podcast ever, if you want to reply to...
Well, I'm sure it was not like you had any plans and questions or anything, did you? You're drinking on your own, recorded.
Yeah, why not? Because I feel like every podcast, right? I've been on a few podcasts, and every person I've spoken to is I enjoy a discussion. You know, I enjoy a discussion. And yeah. I feel like when you go to an interview, so, hey, Siobhan, so tell me where you started in the fitness industry. You're like, what the fuck? What
do you... For those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
You're like, I think...
I've done so many podcasts that, like, I don't know what my story is anymore.
Do you know what I mean? It's so, like, number one, you don't even know where to start because it feels like it was so long ago. Number two...
I wonder how different this one is to our first one. I was your first guest. I actually was very disappointed in your emails the other day when...
No. Listen, you didn't make top five because there were so many on the list. No. There were so many on the list, new ones on the list that people haven't listened to. And let me tell you something that you're going to be very happy about. You are one of the most downloaded all time.
Oh, good.
You are one of the most downloaded. And I also think people, this is not why I'm doing this, by the way. I also think people just like these discussions because they know we're friends. They know we're going to be very open and where there's going to be no judgment in when we're talking to each other. Yeah. And there is, although I hope people think so anyway, I don't make any of my podcasts like fucking interviews at all. But like, it's when it's with people that are kind of close to you, it's just like a fly on the wall listening in.
Yeah, I love that. I remember actually listening to you and Sinead doing it, and or any of the people that you've interviewed that I know, I'm listening to it and I'm like, I'm nearly like trying to butt in on the conversation. It's like, hey, yeah. Mates having a chat. And I'm like, especially because with Sinead, you mentioned me so much. And I was like, I remember I was actually on the skier listening to it, and I was like, hey.
Yeah.
And that's why I like podcasts. It's just like, listen, especially like entertaining ones. Like I listen to podcasts. Entertainment most of the time.
Yeah, same. I've listened to, before I used to listen to a lot of educational, like all the guys in the industry that are fucked.
Yeah, like I learned a lot. Like I'd highly recommend Sigma Nutrition for learning. I learned a lot of it.
Sigma Nutrition is wicked. I used to listen to that.
And there's a really, really interesting, just three episodes there where they talked about the ethics and about veganism and carnivorism and omnivore. Yeah. And it was really interesting because there was no bias behind it, like most of the time. And it's just, I was like, God, and it's just so well made. And I was like, God, if everyone was like listening to content that good, but yet they're here listening to us too.
Anyway. I feel like, and I was saying this to someone else. I don't know if it was on the podcast, but I think it might have been off the podcast. But I feel like me personally, when I learn something of someone, I feel like I learn it way better when it's subtly dropped in a very natural discussion, instead of me saying 2 + 2 = 4. Do you know what I mean?
I was afraid you're going to mess that one up.
All right, listen, just because for anyone that doesn't know, she's actually got a master's in maths. Am I right?
No. Just a normal degree.
I know. I actually knew that, but I just wanted to. Just let people know.
I don't use it anymore. It's been out of practice, so I can't do any mental.
Quick question. Why the fuck did you choose that at uni?
Because I thought that's where I'd make money. I thought like actuary is the highest paid job in Ireland and I was smart, so I'll go and study actuary and be rich and live happily ever after.
Well, yeah, you was.
I realized smart. I was not made to be an actuary.
You was smart. You was smart, that's right.
Where? No, you were smart.
Listen, mate. There you go. Yeah, you said it. You said it before I did. Yes. But
I'm used to it.
Hey, this was a great catch up.
Yeah. God, that was a fast hour.
That was an hour? Really?
I've got dinner at 7, so I better go.
Amazing. Guys, anyone that was listening, thank you for listening to us talk a bit of shit. And thank you. Thank you for coming on again. And yes,
I'll be back in my villa in Bali next time.
100%. And I will give you a big hug. Although I'll give you shit, I do miss you. All right?
All right. I miss you.
Hey, and anyone listening to this, you better go follow it and you better subscribe to the channel. Peace and love. I'll catch you guys soon. Take it easy.